Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. Here in Madison, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side for Mad Radio 92.7 FM, WMDX 1580 AM, so many other great stations around the state. Our friends over in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, so many other great stations. If you want to learn more about what we're doing here at Civic Media, head to the website civicmedia.us. Dueling Tangents is excited to have this Friday edition of the big show for you here on the airwaves. Evan, any big breaking news over the last 24 hours?
Holy gats. Hey, fancy meeting you here.
Yeah, same time every day, every weekday.
Coincidence. Oh, man. You know what? I love stuff like this. Yeah, I heard some stuff happened yesterday.
Did you?
I did.
What happened?
Maybe there was an indictment. You know, indictments
is there because hang on. There's like word that an indictment is there. Like this was really weird because the grand jury in New York, I thought was going to be on recess, and then all of a sudden there comes an announcement yesterday that no, those familiar with the situation say an indictment is coming, and Trump is set to be arraigned around 2:15 Eastern time next Tuesday, April 4th. So my tack that I'm going to take it, I'll believe it when I see it.
I want to see that mugshot. Man, it's
all
I'm
going to believe it when
it's
I see
all
it.
All I want. You know what? Indictment and schmeitment. I just want to see the mugshot.
But some outlet is going to pay a lot of money for that shot. But, you know, there are more pressing issues going on here in the state of Wisconsin. One being that we've got a state Supreme Court race coming up that same day, Tuesday, April 4th.
You think that's a coincidence? I think not.
Evan thinks there's some grand conspiracy. I think you should just make a plan to be a voter between now and Tuesday, April 4th. Today, the final day of in-person absentee voting for most municipalities. You got to head over to myvote.wi.gov. You can learn more about your options to vote in-person absentee or vote early. Or just make sure that your registration status is up to date and make a plan for on Tuesday, April 4th, to vote in the state's spring general election. That arraignment happening potentially, I guess, 2:15 Eastern time out on in New York City. So it'll be something that you're going to want to tune to Civic Media all day long on Tuesday, because following our regular scheduled coverage of the day that may involve some news surrounding that arraignment, we don't know. Again, I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, and a lot of you, dear listeners, heard it here first. I mean, we were early, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that that Dom and Crew had a field day with the fact that that one landed during their show. Somehow, that 4 to 6 p.m. slot, they get some pretty good news breaking in that one.
I had a little fun with it, too.
Good. Glad to hear it, buddy. But yeah, the next Tuesday, following the regularly scheduled program all day long on Tuesday, Civic Media providing special election night coverage beginning at 7 p.m. with a bonus hour of As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, Jane Matinair, and then Terry Bell and Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show. Terry Bell, our news director here at Civic Media, going to be covering the spring general election results as they roll in across the Civic Media network. So you're going to want to stay tuned. It's going to be a big Tuesday afternoon, folks. But in that regard, since it's a sealed indictment and we don't really know anything about it, I'm not going to jump to any conclusions. I'm not going to say if it's political or not. I'm just simply going to talk about what we've got going on here in the state of Wisconsin.
It's not political. Yeah, man, I'm with you.
Because, I mean, the near knee-jerk reactions that, oh, well, if this could happen to Trump, it could happen to you. It could happen to anyone.
Duh. Duh, duh, duh.
Exactly. That's the point, folks. If you break the law, you should expect to be held accountable to the law. And so I'm not going to talk anymore about it. We've got a Supreme Court election coming up here on Tuesday. So many more things to talk about as well. We're going to be joined by Matt Rothschild, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, coming up at 2:30, because today is an interesting day to note in Wisconsin history. 174 years ago, the law that outlaws abortion in Wisconsin was signed 174 years ago. Matt Rothschild is going to be talking with me about that and so many more things coming up at 2:30. But it's Friday here on Dueling Tangents. If you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. You can share tangents through call or text all hour long. But what is the most Wisconsin headline of the week that you saw this week? I've got a couple contenders. I'm going to get to them throughout this big show here. But I want to hear your submissions for the most Wisconsin headline of the week. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Want to hear those Wisconsin headlines from you. But before we go there, we've also got just a very, very on-brand piece covering one of the two candidates for the state's highest court that are on the ballot next Tuesday, April 4th. And that is one Dan Kelly. Previously served on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, was not elected to that body, was appointed there by former Governor Scott Walker, lost his first attempt to go before the voters back in 2020 for a full 10-year term on the state's highest court. But very interestingly, throughout this campaign, a few weeks back, you may recall, the Kelly camp and a lot of conservatives here in Wisconsin were decrying Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz for not agreeing to more debates. That Dan Kelly was open and willing. He was available. He was saying yes to everything.
Just say yes.
And Janet Protasiewicz agreed to the one debate put on the forum put on by the Wisconsin Bar Association and WisPolitics.com and Channel 3000 WISC here in Madison. Protasiewicz and Kelly agreed to that. And that was the only one of the campaign. And Kelly's campaign really was decrying the fact that Protasiewicz's team was avoiding the press, avoiding the public. But it seems like in the recent weeks since that last forum, Kelly's gone MIA.
I was about to say, no one knows who this man is. They don't know what he looks like, what he sounds like.
I don't know if no one knows what he looks like or what he sounds like.
They've forgotten by now.
But all of those events, Evan, that Dan Kelly was saying that his campaign was agreeing to, well, now all of a sudden, there's a ton of conflicts with the campaign schedule. And as the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel points out, with Daniel Bice reporting, Dan Kelly bows out of Milwaukee public forums late in Supreme Court race. Opening with the question, where has former Supreme Court Justice Daniel Kelly been recently? Not Milwaukee for sure. Earlier this month, his opponent, Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Janet Protasiewicz, justifiably came under fire, and that is justifiably by Daniel Bice at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. That's his writing. Came under fire for agreeing to participate in only one debate for the crucial seat. Protasiewicz, a liberal, and Kelly, a conservative, face off in Tuesday's general election to decide the direction of the Supreme Court. But in the past 2 weeks, it's Kelly who's been MIA from a series of public forums for the two candidates in the Milwaukee area. The city's voters are heavily Democratic. For example, Protasiewicz sat for nearly an hour with editors and reporters from the Journal Sentinel earlier this month, for an on-the-record give-and-take that ended up generating three news stories. Kelly canceled his scheduled March 22nd appearance on the day of the event after agreeing to it 2 weeks earlier. Kelly also didn't do a videotaped appearance at the Milwaukee Bar Association, even though he earlier tentatively agreed to participate in an in-person forum. Protasiewicz was interviewed by former Milwaukee County Circuit Judge John Didimo, and the video was posted on the lawyer group's website. K- Kelly sent a surrogate, Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Bradley, to appear Tuesday for a sit-down forum organized by University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee students via All Voting is Local for the two candidates at the UWM Student Union. Protasiewicz attended the event in person. Finally, Kelly was a no-show for the virtual town hall for the two candidates hosted by the Milwaukee chapter of the NAACP on Wednesday. Protasiewicz participated for 17 minutes before bowing out because she was sick. Two surrogates filled in for her the rest of the 45-minute Zoom event. So, Dan Kelly and his campaign earlier in the cycle, proclaiming how open and transparent they were available for all the events. Now all of a sudden, he's MIA. So very interesting to see that he just decided to change course on that. And I believe, Evan, this is going to be an interesting dynamic for what happens between now and Tuesday. Doesn't matter.
I think it does, ultimately. Yeah, he's not fun to look at. He's not fun to listen to. He sort of has this really brash tone about him.
It feels very out of the Tim Michaels playbook.
Yeah.
Tim Michaels just not agreeing to a whole... Yeah, yeah, exactly. Let me refresh your memory, Evan. The Connecticut businessman who briefly began residing more in Wisconsin than Connecticut to run for the gubernatorial race last November. Came up short in a Wisconsin landslide, about 3.5 points to Governor Tony Evers. But Tim Michaels taking the same approach back in his campaign of avoiding the press in the waning days before Election Day. And so it'll be interesting to see if Dan Kelly's just not doing a whole lot of electioneering himself, because, you know, he's got the super PAC money flowing in and he doesn't have to be at these events in person.
Well, you know what they say, no news is good news, you know?
No news is good news. Well, it'll be interesting. That's it's usually in PR perspective, but not necessarily in campaigning. Usually, you want to be out there in front of the voters ahead of Election Day. Dan Kelly taking a different tactic. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. Going to get to the most Wisconsin headline of the week, and your calls coming up next, 844-967-2789. It's 844-96-PARTY. It's a political party here on the Friday afternoon. Dueling Tangents, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to learn more about what we're up to here at our growing radio network, head over to the website civicmedia.us. You can check out the stations. You can check out the programs, like our friends. Excellent programming throughout the entire day here at Civic Media. The Todd Alba Show from 8 to 11 on WRCE. News from the Center, Lake Eyre, and Bull Falls. We got the Devil's Advocates from 4 to 6, as Evan and I were discussing earlier. As Goes Wisconsin from 11 to 2 across the Civic Media Network. Pat Krylow, Up North News with Pat Krylow. So many excellent programs. It's hard to list them all, but go to the website civicmedia.us. You can see them all there in one place. Listen to past shows and learn about the stations as well. If you want to share a tangent with us on this Friday afternoon, 844-967-2789. Talking about the MIA, missing in action nature of Daniel Kelly ahead of Tuesday's spring general election here in Wisconsin. Want to hear your thoughts on that and whatever else is on your mind. You could be like Larry here in Madison. Larry, what's on your mind this Friday afternoon?
Hi. Hey, great. Thanks for taking my call. Good stuff on your double radio. You know, the ads that they were running for Kelly was that Jennifer Solowich was soft on crime and she let some rapist go and blah, blah, blah. And then, but the after effect is like Kelly won't take away your guns. And but what they don't know now is he supported impeached 45, you know, the AKA Donald Trump, the indicted ex-president, and the fake electors that wanted to overthrow the election. They don't bring that up. And then they talk about the abortion thing, that Janet should be recusing herself because she's already divulged how she would vote. And he would be fair. He would vote according to what the arguments before the court would be. But it's not about abortion. It's about women's health choices. And what else do I have here? They've got referendums out there now on court things where they want to randomize. You know, if you have a case, they in Dane County, they would randomly, some of the clerk of courts would randomly pick a county, and then you would have your case there, which has all kinds of flaws because you're not called. You're moving cases into different counties, and the Republicans all know that most of the judges in those counties were elected. You know, they're conservative. And the laws were changed in 2006 and 2011. That was the state legislator ethics thing with Scott Jensen and Chuck Quala. Mm-hmm. Quala served jail time. Scott Jensen, the Republican, kept delaying. He said,
had a change of venue, and it was a much different outcome. And that is absolutely right, Larry. We discussed that Republican proposal back on Wednesday. If you missed any portion of that show of Dueling Tangents, you can go check it out on the website, civicmedia.us. You can also find it on Apple, Spotify, and Google Play for the podcasts that Google runs as well. But Larry, appreciate the phone call because, yeah, that leads me into some of the most Wisconsin headlines of the week. And I had a hard time figuring out which one the most Wisconsin was because two that kind of put us on the map for not great reasons. And the first one being a story that we discussed a little while ago with the Waukesha School District not allowing elementary students to sing a Miley Cyrus Dolly Parton song of Rainbowland. And that story made its way all the way up to The Tonight Show with Stephen Colbert last night. So Wisconsin getting on the map for a very Wisconsin thing. I feel like that's the only time that we get sometimes the national coverage that we get. It's pretty disheartening. So that's a very Wisconsin headline. But I think it's the runner-up this week because the most obvious Wisconsin headline to me is Republicans in Wisconsin trying to do a power grab here again in our state. And Larry alluded to one of those with the proposal to randomize the venue that lawsuits are heard if the legislature is involved. But this one's even more of a blatant power grab. Over at the Wisconsin State Journal, constitutional amendment limiting Wisconsin governor's use of federal funds moves closer to public votes. The piece written up by Mitchell Schmidt over at the State Journal. But again, Republicans upset, throwing a tantrum because they don't have the power that they once had when they had unified control. Because during the COVID-19 pandemic here in Wisconsin, the way that the state spends federal funds is determined by the governor. The legislature does not have insight, and Republicans are very upset. And I will note for everybody out there, guess what happened when it was determinant on the Republican legislature to call an emergency declaration at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic? State missed out on $25 million in funds because Republicans weren't in session and they were sitting on their hands. They delayed it. They didn't take the votes that they needed to. They did not act speedily enough to receive the full amount of federal support that the state was eligible for. Missed out on $25 million. And to put that in Republican terms, 10 times the amount that the state Republican Party has spent lighting on fire to pay Michael Gableman and his sham investigation into the 2020 election.
It's really wild.
10 of those.
I mean, when did our brains become so mushified? I mean, I understand that sometimes politics can be a little dry, right? It can be a little. Well, that's the thing. It's not dry anymore. You couldn't write a movie based on recent events. No one would believe it.
It would get tossed out of most writers' rooms.
Yes.
But the Republicans now upset that the governor Tony Evers, had the reign over how the state's funds were dispersed, with studies showing that Wisconsin has prioritized small business recovery more than any other state, and it's led to a $7 billion surplus. But the Republicans, who folded up shop and stopped doing any legislating last March, just took better part of 10 months off of doing their jobs. They want more responsibility on how to respond to crises. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. That's the most Wisconsin headline that I've seen this week. We got Matt Rothschild coming up next. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to take us with you on the go, download the Civic Media app. Go wherever apps are downloaded on your smart devices. Type in Civic Media. It's free, easy to take with you on the go. You can jump from station to station. And here on Dueling Tangents, we are joined now in the Solidarity Realty Studios by Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Matt, how are we doing this Friday afternoon?
I'm doing well, Luke. Thanks for having me on again. It's always nice to come into the studio and talk with you.
Yeah, I always appreciate you making the trip. It's an interesting Friday because obviously there's big news out, but anything that we discuss is speculation. So the bigger news, in my opinion, is where the state is going to be come Tuesday, April 4th. And we've got an election. It's a statewide election that day. Every Wisconsinite can go and make a plan to be a voter in the state Supreme Court race. And there's going to be ramifications. It's a 10-year term. A lot's going to be at stake for the makeup of the court. And it's very important for everybody out there in the listening audience, make a plan to be a voter between now and Tuesday. Last day of in-person absentee voting for a lot of municipalities today. A lot of also tomorrow.
Yeah, I was just looking that up. There's early voting still tomorrow in Green Bay and in Wausau and in Racine and in Milwaukee and in Madison and maybe where you're living. So you should check with your local clerk. I only had time to check the Madison and Milwaukee places. In Green Bay, early voting is 8 to 12 in the morning. Same with Wausau. Not sure about Racine. In Milwaukee, 10 to 3 tomorrow at a lot of places, including the Midtown Shopping Center on Capitol Drive, Zeidler Municipal Building, and then in a whole bunch of libraries in Milwaukee. So call your local library if you're in Milwaukee and see if they're open tomorrow, 10 to 3 for early voting. Madison, Saturday and Sunday, there are multiple places you can vote. Central Library, Saturday, 9 to 5. Central Library, Sunday, noon to 5. Warner Park, Saturday, 9 to 5. Sunday, noon to 5. And then some local libraries, too. So call your local library if that's where you want to do early voting. Plenty of opportunity to vote. It's supposed to maybe rain on Tuesday, so you might want to vote over the weekend.
Make a plan to be a voter. As Matt pointed out, several different options for those out there in the listening audience, our friends at WGBW and WAUK 540 AM, in those listening audiences, as well as here in Madison for Mad Radio 92.7.
And there may be other places, too. If you're listening not in some of those cities, go to myvote.wi.gov and check out the possibility of early voting on Saturday where you're living.
Yeah, reach out to your local clerk. They're there to answer all of your questions, and they will help you with that plan to be a voter between now and Tuesday, April 4th. And one of the ramifications this race has really been shaped by, Matt, is going to be in all regards. There is current state lawsuits working their way through Wisconsin courts surrounding the aftermath of last summer's Supreme Court decision, the U.S. Supreme Court decision, to overturn nearly 50 years of legal precedent in Roe v. Wade in the Dobbs decision, kind of sending it back to all the states, creating this legal chaos. It is a giant fabric of, well, what happens now? And in Wisconsin, something that happened is Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call brought a lawsuit to clarify what is the law surrounding abortion here in Wisconsin. As that lawsuit makes its way through the courts, it is almost inevitably going to make its way before the state's highest court, the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And so the makeup of the court after Tuesday's election will set up what kind of outcome Wisconsinites could expect from that lawsuit. And so Janet Protasiewicz and Dan Kelly have talked about abortion in this race, but it is the 174th anniversary of the law from 1849 that outlawed abortion today, March 31st.
I mean, and that's crazy, isn't it? Today is the actual anniversary of this archaic law that says in Wisconsin, a woman can't have an abortion even in cases of rape and incest, and any doctor who tries to help her get an abortion is going to be tried for manslaughter.
Yeah, and this was something that you found the history of, because 174 years ago, and this is over at Wisconsin Democracy Campaign's website, but I did not know what the vote total was.
Yeah, the vote was close. You know, the internet's a great thing.
I was just saying, this is not something that I looked up, but you went out there, you found it, and on March 10th, so a little bit over 174 years ago now, there was a vote of 28 to 26 with one single legislator's vote tipping the balance.
This was in the assembly, yeah.
In the state assembly.
March of 1849.
So literally one legislator's decision to decided to... That's how razor thin that margin was in the state's legislature 174 years ago. And that is just baffling to me.
Yeah. I mean, this was astonishing. You know, I was curious about this law. So I just, you know, Googled the history of Wisconsin's abortion law, and the Legislative Reference Bureau, it turns out, had done a study of it last year.
Okay.
And so this is where I found the statistics about the assembly vote. And then the Senate voted 3 days after that on March 13th, 1849, 9-3, a bigger margin. Let's remember, this is a time when there were, of course, no women in the legislature. Women couldn't vote for another 70 years. And this was more than a decade before the Civil War. That's how archaic this law is. But the day that the governor signed this law was today, March 31st, back in 1849.
So 174 years ago, the state of Wisconsin passed this law that is now back in, because for 50 years, it was law that did not hold teeth, because the federal decision at the Supreme Court level, the U.S. Supreme Court, ruled that Americans had a constitutional right to an abortion. And so with the outcome of the Dobbs decision unfolding before us now, this is absolutely one of the things that I think is on a lot of Wisconsinites' minds as they go to the polls, either if they're early voting, if they've mailed in their absentee ballot a few days ago. Folks, if you haven't yet returned your absentee ballot, I recommend you doing it in person now. There's no guarantee that the mail will get your ballot to your local clerk between now and Tuesday. But you can also vote in-person absentee today and over the weekend, as Matt outlined, or you can just make a plan to be a voter in person on Tuesday. But this is a law that has had very significant consequences now that Dobbs was ruled last year, and there's uncertainty on this topic, abortion, here in Wisconsin again.
And the vast majority of Wisconsinites are in favor of upholding Roe v. Wade. Against the Dobbs decision, including the latest Marquette Law School poll. And then on the question of rape and incest, it's just astronomically high, the number of people who think a woman in Wisconsin should have that right to an abortion. And Dan Kelly seems to be on the side of not the woman on this issue. I mean, he's funded by all the anti-abortion groups.
He did legal consulting for them before.
He actually worked for Wisconsin Right to Life, he gave a wink and a nod to a conservative group this week to say, you have nothing to worry about from me. I'm not going to be like Hagedorn. Poor Brian Hagedorn, the one conservative who has an independent streak on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, is just being pilloried by right-wingers for not walking in goose step with their agenda. So it's pretty clear who Dan Kelly is, or what he's in favor of and against as far as the abortion issue goes. And Judge Janet Protasiewicz has made her views pretty clear on this, too. So, you know, wherever you are on the issue, I know people will be turning out. One thing I wonder is whether the emphasis on this issue is going to get all the anti-abortion people out, because that's one reason why Neubauer lost last time. But if there is a big turnout, since the numbers in Wisconsin are so dramatically in favor of Roe v. Wade staying the law of the land or coming back to being the law of the land, that that will tip the balance. But if there's low voter turnout, you can bet that the anti-abortion people are going to come out. And so the question is, what is the turnout going to be? And that we'll have to wait and see on Tuesday.
Yeah. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined in the Solidarity Realty Studios by Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and friend of the show, Dan Schaefer over at the Recombobulation Area. He had a conversation with Charles Franklin, the pollster for the Marquette University Law School. They're estimating about 1.5 million is the potential turnout for next Tuesday's election. So make a plan, be a voter between now and Tuesday. And so this the makeup of this court will determine very important cases that will come before it in the upcoming years, abortion included in those. But it is also going to be an historic race, Matt, because of the amount of money that we are seeing funneling into the state.
For, unbelievable amounts.
It is record shattering. Like, everybody knew it was going to be an expensive race. It was going to, predictions early were that it was going to be the most expensive judicial race in the country, not just Wisconsin, but in the entire nation. And so when I believe the previous record was 15 million
in Illinois, 10 million in Wisconsin.
Yeah. And so those numbers were pretty much surpassed during the primary. And when that happened, we were like, okay, so it's not really of what record, or if whether or not the record would be broken, but what the new record will be set when it all is all said and done, Matt. And it seems like there's a pretty high ceiling on this. What do you think is going to be the total amount spent when it's all said and done for this state Supreme Court race?
Well, I think it's going to get around $50 million, unbelievable as that is, five times the old record here in Wisconsin. I mean, right now, by the count we've got at Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and our staff is counting it every day, and they're doing a great job of it, they've got outside money at essentially $25 million. And the money from the candidates themselves at $16 million. So you're at $41 million already. And that doesn't count from the candidates themselves, how much they're raising and spending over the last 2 weeks of this election. And so it's just astronomical, the amount here. And we're seeing it on our screen. I'm sure you're sick of it. I'm sick of it. I'm sure all the listeners are sick of it. If you're driving in your car, or you're in your kitchen, or you're in your living room and you turn on your screen, whether it's your computer or your TV or your cell phone, you see these hideous ads, you're sick and tired of it. And the most despicable ad was that ad from Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce about that rape victim who was re-victimized by this ad. She didn't want the ad to run. They mischaracterized what happened at her trial. They didn't mention the fact that she was in favor of the sentence that that Janet Protasiewicz imposed. And so it was just the most disgusting thing I've seen in a long time. And that was a dark money ad from Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. That wasn't telling you not to vote for Judge Janet. It was just call Judge Janet and tell her not to be X, Y, and Z, you know?
Yep.
And it's so sleazy because it has the same effect of saying don't vote for Judge Janet. But they can get around the loophole in the law that says you got to register and tell us, you know, where this money's coming from if you said don't vote for Judge Janet. So they get away with it.
Yeah, it's very, very large loopholes that are now in our campaign finance
laws. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce should be ashamed of themselves for running this ad.
Yeah, and the Protasiewicz campaign has called on them to pull it back and take it off the air. But it doesn't seem like there is any indication that they are going to heed those calls between now and Tuesday's election. So it is very telling the lengths that some of the parties involved in this Supreme Court race are willing to go to.
Yeah, they play dirty. And if you're a business owner and you belong to Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, or you belong to the Greater Madison Chamber of Commerce, or the Greater Milwaukee Chamber of Commerce, or the Greater Wausau Area Chamber of Commerce, let them know how you feel about this re-victimization of this rape victim that Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce issues mobilization arm. They got more arms than an octopus was paying for. It's just disgusting.
Yeah. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined in the Solidarity Realty Studios by Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And Matt, it is It's a lot going to be going on between now and Tuesday. I think Tuesday is going to be a really big day here in Wisconsin. But we've got a couple more Wisconsin headlines to jump to as well. You got time to join us for this next segment?
Sure, I got nothing to do.
All right, it's almost the weekend, folks, but we got one more segment left in Dueling Tangents. If you want to share a tangent with us before the weekend, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to follow the show online, you can do so on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. You can follow Civic Media there as well, and on Facebook, Civic Media US on Facebook and Twitter. And joined in studio by Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Matt, we got a statewide election coming up on Tuesday. It's going to be an interesting weekend full of the return of baseball. We've got some interesting weather patterns coming up. It's a heck of a time here in Wisconsin. And one of the things that is on the ballot, besides the state Supreme Court race, is several referendum. Advisory referendum here in Wisconsin. We unfortunately do not have an ability for citizens to make a direct appeal to legislation through ballot referendum, but they are advisory to our state legislature. Republicans push through these questions and put them on the ballot, hoping, I think, to gin up some support for their voters surrounding constitutional amendments to bail and several other things, I believe three ballot questions in all. What can you tell us a little bit more about the referendum that are on Tuesday's ballot?
Sure. Well, let me make it real simple. Vote no, no, no on those.
Okay.
Those three. The first two actually would amend the Wisconsin Constitution because they passed two sessions of the legislature, and now they go before the voters, and this is the only time the voters actually firmly determine whether it becomes part of the Constitution or not.
So not advisory ballot referendum.
The first two actually amend the Constitution. The third one, which is about people who are on welfare needing to go out and work, that's advisory. But that's already the law anyway.
Yeah.
So this is just a way to gin up the hardcore Republican base. So vote no on that one. On the first two, they're dealing with cash bail and release without bail. The first one would let a judge impose all sorts of conditions on someone who's out, not even out on cash bail, just out on recognizance, including, if they violated it, they're committing another crime. And that could include something petty like drinking alcohol. So if the person who's let out gets caught, having a drink at the bar, that's a whole additional crime than the one they've already been charged with. And remember, none of these people have been convicted yet. So this is a question of innocence until proven guilty. The second one has to do with letting judges impose cash bail for a variety more reasons. This one's unnecessary because judges already can hold someone without bail or with astronomical bail if they think the person is a real threat to the community. This is a problem of, discrimination against poor people. Because if they're going to set bail at any amount, even a couple $1,000s, the person who is rich, who's committed the offense, can get out.
Yeah.
The person who's poor can't get out. I mean, and that's just not fair. So the judge already under the statute can protect the community from the dangerous person who's been charged with a crime. And so it's unnecessary. And then this is discriminatory. So simply put, there are these three referendum questions. The first two would amend the Wisconsin Constitution. Vote no on all three. No, no, and no.
Perfect. Appreciate that insight, Matt. And again, Executive Director Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, letting you know where he stands on those ballot referendum questions. And see, I've been talking about the spring election for so long, and I thought the all three were non-binding.
Well,
so.
There hasn't been a lot of discussion in the media on it. Everything's been swamped as Wisconsin Supreme Court, and I'm meeting more and more people say, what do I do on these amendments? I don't understand them. They're worded weirdly. The first one has a term in there that no one understands unless you're a lawyer, which is affirmative defense. What the hell's an affirmative defense? And so I think this will end up in court because you're not supposed to have terms that the average citizen doesn't understand in these questions, but thanks for giving me the opportunity just to explain. The first two would amend the Constitution of Wisconsin. Vote no and no. And the third one on work and welfare is already on the books. Vote no on that one too.
Yeah, it is. That one I knew was non-binding. So yeah. And it, just taking that, I thought all three of them were, but appreciate that insight, Matt. And one of the last things caught my eye ahead of the weekend, just a very, very disturbing story of an organization that honestly shouldn't really, we have here in the United States, we have a separation of church and state, and it is troubling when I see this headline over at the Wisconsin State Journal, written up by Alexander Scher, blatant electioneering. A Wisconsin group calls for IRS investigation into Cottage Grove Church. Because, Matt, this church in Cottage Grove was sharing around a flyer telling people not to vote for, quote-unquote, her in the state Supreme Court race. There are two candidates, only one of them using the pronoun her in the race. And it's just very... The quote from the flyer, and this was brought up by the Freedom from Religion Foundation, the fact that this is a Supreme Court race does not exempt us from our duty to protect life. As a Catholic, I urge you, for the salvation of your soul... Do not vote for her in the Supreme Court race on April 4th.
Yeah, and this was from the pastor's desk, it said in the bulletin. So this is about the most blatant violation of a church's 501c3 tax exemption that I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it's absolutely clear that the pastor of this church in his official capacity is telling people who to vote for and who to vote against. And you just can't do that. And so Annie Laurie Gaylor and the folks over at the Freedom from Religion Foundation absolutely right to challenge this and to notify the IRS and have the IRS inspect. It's funny, Vicki McKenna of Right Wing Radio just thought it was a great thing and said every Catholic pastor should do what this pastor did, who happens to be her pastor. But it's just a blatant violation of the law.
I did find it a little interesting that it was a conservative talk radio host that shared it around that then got a flag to the IRS for this church, going as the Freedom for Religion Foundation called it, blatant electioneering.
Yeah, they're just, you know, there's a bright line that tax-exempt organizations cannot cross, and that is to tell someone who to vote for explicitly or who to vote against explicitly. And here, the pastor told someone explicitly, his flock, who to vote against.
Yeah, and the most important thing is to be these organizations to adhere to those. And one of the terrific things that I think Wisconsin Democracy Campaign has put together is our Milwaukee Bucks 2021 champions, just getting everybody to encourage to vote.
I love that ad. I heard it on my way into the studio.
It is a fantastic ad, and those Bucks.
Brooke Lopez, Drew Holiday, bless their hearts.
Yes, terrific guys, just telling Wisconsinites to vote, and that I think is just a shining example of what organizations should be doing, not necessarily what this flyer was written up to do.
Yeah, I mean, everyone should vote. I want everyone in Wisconsin to vote.
Yes.
Our democracy works best when everybody votes.
So in-person absentee voting, find out myvote.wi.gov. Learn where you can do it today and over the weekend, or just make a plan. In-person voting on Tuesday, April 4th. Really appreciate you joining me here in the studios, Matt, this Friday afternoon.
Always a pleasure, Luke.
Hopefully the Brewers, Brian, he got the better one yesterday. The Cubbies went in 4-0, but I'm hoping the crew can get something put together, win this series this weekend. Folks, have an excellent weekend. Dueling Tangents will be back on Monday afternoon at 2 p.m. Talk to y'all then. It's a wonderful time.